Now, we're going to play a game first. And the game is that I'm going to read some scripture, and there's going to be a word in the scripture that I want you to remember, but don't say it. And then when we finish the scripture, I'll ask you what that word is. So you think we can do that? All right. Now, the first part of the scripture, I got four of them to read, is Paul's in prison. Now, you're in prison. Can you imagine where there's joy in prison? But he writes, he's writing to the Philippians, one of his churches, and it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. All right. And then in the second reading is Romans, Romans 5:13. Now, Paul is sending a letter not to the Romans in Rome. He's sending a letter to the Jews in Rome who have been castigated and kicked out of Rome. And so this is all the Jews out there. They're not sure what's going on. So he's trying to give them some comfort. And he says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confidence, hope, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then John. Now, I don't particularly like John, but that's beside the point. So John says, I've told you these things so that we'll be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. But I had fun reading Nehemiah. Nehemiah was captured by the Persians, spent time in Persia in the prisons. He comes back to Jerusalem. They've been rebuilding Jerusalem from where they purged and destroyed the city and the wall. In those days, you had to have a wall to keep the unwanted out. And he says, and Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And what's the secret word?
Joy.
Joy. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You
and
may be
full
seated.
Full of joy.
Full of joy. Yes. Some subjects are easier to preach on than others. Joy is one of those that is a whole lot easier to preach on than some of the sadder subjects or some of the more difficult subjects. But yet sometimes we struggle with joy in our life. Sometimes it's we go through seasons where it is difficult. And finding that joy and holding on to our joy. And so we're continuing our teaching series on the life of Paul. And we're looking at some essential qualities that we find in his writings and his life that he lived, that if we can grab a hold of them and we can let the Holy Spirit work on us, it really will deepen our walk with him. And so the first one we looked at is surrendering. That's kind of the foundation, the importance of surrender. And then last week we looked at grit, having that grit that'll help us get through difficult times. And today we're looking at the quality of joy. And really, this is a subject, this is a character trait of Paul that just kind of developed in his life almost against all odds. And we're going to talk about why that was. But if you find your message notes, grab something to write with so you can take some notes. And here are some things. I want to go through some things, and hopefully you can see this. It's not real tall, but I'm not going to move it much because I'm not going to have much more luck than Rich had in moving this thing. And so we're just going to keep it there. But some things that people associate with happiness. Okay, these are things that we think we need to have in our life for us to be happy. And one of them is money, right? We believe we got to have money. Money is important. It's kind of hard to live in our society if you don't have any money. But we believe if we're not happy, maybe one of the reasons we're not is because we don't have enough money. Another thing that we think is really important that we have in our life is a job. You know, we really struggle when the job's not there. We're trying to find that job, or we think if we just had a better job, I would be so much more happy. And then tied to that, some people say it's not necessarily the job, but it's success. I need to have success in what I'm doing. I need to feel like I'm winning, like I'm moving up the ladder. And then tied to that is also this idea that I'm respected. And they think, if I have respect, then I'll be happy. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm trying to get. And then when we look at that, some people say, well, that's not really what's going to bring me happiness. What would make me happy is if I could just find a house that I can afford. Right? If I can just find that house, if I can get that place where I can start my life, then I will be happy. Other people, they think, you know, maybe it's not the house, but it's a relationship that's going to make me happy. And a lot of people get trapped in this one. You know, first you got the person who says, you know, if I could just find someone who would be willing to date me, I'd be happy. All right? And then you got the person who's got someone they're dating, they think, I know, when I can find the right person who will marry me, then I'll be happy. And then you got the married couple who's not happy, and they think, you know, if we just have a family and we have a child, then we'll be happy. And then you got the family who's got the children and still don't have happiness, and so they think, you know what, I married the wrong person. If I just had married the right person, I would be happy. And people get trapped in this idea that relationships cause happiness. Others, it's good health. You know, if my health would improve, I would be happy. If I didn't have to deal with this about my health, then I would not have this challenge and I would have happiness. One more thing that people have is they say, you know, if I just had better looks. So we spend a ton of money on hair and makeup and all this other stuff because we believe if we just looked better, we would be happy. If I was just a little bit taller, I'd be happy. If I was a little bit shorter, I'd be happy. If I just had a little bit more hair, I'd be happy. You know, we get trapped in this idea that we need certain things in our life to be happy. Now, what I want to do is I want to compare Paul, who was full of joy, to these things that we tend to think about as needing happiness. Now, Paul, did he have money? No, Paul actually depended on the support of others, and he would make tents on the side just to try to get by, but he really had no money. How about a job? Paul didn't have a job anymore. He lost his job as a Pharisee when he became a Christian, and so his job began to be making churches, but he didn't have that job that people think of, and he lost his success when he became a Christian, and he lost all the respect he had in the Jewish community that he had built up, this person coming up, but he didn't have respect anymore. In fact, they were constantly after him. House. Paul didn't have a house, and he was pretty much homeless the last 10 years of his ministry. How about a relationship? Paul was not married. In fact, he felt like it was a blessing for him to not be married because then he could focus more on preaching and he didn't have the challenges of a relationship. And so, no, he wasn't married. He didn't have a family at all. How about good health? No, Paul didn't have good health. There's some who say he was kind of frail. We know he had really bad eyesight. And so, Paul, he didn't have good health. Better looks. Paul, he says in one of his letters that he was not a particularly handsome person. He didn't have looks. He didn't have any of these things that people say they need to have in order to be happy, and yet his life was full of joy. How could that be? I mean, you would think he would have just been an incredibly miserable person, but he wasn't. He had this joy in his life. In fact, he wrote this letter to Philippi about joy. It's one of the biggest topics in this letter, and he wrote that from prison. And so I want us to look at this today, and we're going to start out with this first verse from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And writing from prison, he says, always, as we heard a second ago, be full of joy in the Lord. And just in case you didn't hear it, he writes it again, and I say again, rejoice. Would you circle that word always in your notes? I mean, is that even possible? Can you be full of joy when you don't have all these things that we've got listed up here on this board? Paul believed you could. And he wrote it while he was in chains in a prison in Rome, knowing that any time he could possibly lose his life. And yet he said, always be full of joy. How can you have joy in those circumstances that he found himself in? How can you have joy despite everything else? You know, how can you have that? Is it possible? Well, Paul thought it was, because he didn't find joy in things. He found joy in Jesus. That's where he found his joy. So for a moment, I want to take just a time to distinguish between what is happiness and joy. Because there's a difference between those two things, between the pursuit of happiness that our world sells and the joy of the Lord that Paul is talking about. So there in your notes, I've got that section, happiness versus joy. I want us to understand the difference here. Happiness is external, but joy is internal. Happiness is external, but joy is internal. When you're happy, how do you normally show it? Let me show it on the outside, right? We laugh, we smile, we say happy words. You know the song, if you're happy, you know it, what? Clap your hands, right? You do something on the outside. Those are external ways to show happiness. But here's the thing. Because happiness is external, it can be faked. You could fake happiness. You could put a fake smile on your face, right? You can give a fake laugh. Have you ever told someone, yeah, everything's going great when everything isn't going great? And you're just kind of faking that happiness. And you could do that because it's external. But you can't fake joy. Joy is internal. It comes from the heart. It's something that you experience on the inside of you. So that's the first difference between joy and happiness. Here's the second one. Happiness is based on chance. Joy is based on choice. Happiness is based on chance. Joy is based on choice. Happiness is caused by an external force that's outside many times of your control. For example, I hate people say, if I get that job promotion, oh, I'd be so happy. If I win the lottery, I would be happy. If I could find that right person who would put up with me, I'd be happy. You know, all those things, they're kind of out of our control. They're all based on chance or on in some ways, luck. But joy isn't based on chance or luck at all. It is a choice that you make. Happiness results from the circumstances that work out for our favor. But joy is a choice you make before you even know the result. Don't miss that. Joy is a choice you make even before you know how things are going to work out in the end. You choose joy. And so many times we pursue all these things up here because we think it's going to bring us happiness. But instead, when you fix your eyes on Jesus, that is when you begin to experience this internal joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. So no matter what your circumstances are like, you can actually have this joy, even if none of these things are in your life. Even when life gets just really, really difficult, you could still have that joy inside. So here's a definition of joy that we're using today. Joy is an internal choice of hope based on my belief in Jesus. Joy, it's an internal choice of hope based on my belief in Jesus. It's not based on circumstances in my life. It's not based on another person, but it's an internal choice that we're hope. We're filled with hope because we believe in Jesus and all that Jesus teaches. And here's what I found in life. If you are always looking for all the circumstances in life to line up all these things before you experience joy, you will end up waiting your entire life. If you do that, you know, if Paul had waited for all these things to line up, he would have never experienced joy. He just would have been an incredibly miserable person. But Paul discovered that if you can find joy when you find Jesus first. And so today we're going to look at what Paul has to say about joy in Philippians chapter 4, the joy chapter, so we can discover kind of how we can develop this essential quality. And so we're going to look at some secrets that he discovered in his life, and he wrote about them even while he's in chains. And so first I'm going to kind of read the whole passage, and then we're just going to kind of break it apart and see what these secrets are. Starting in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, if you have your Bibles or you can follow along on the screen. It says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. And I know you've always been concerned for me, but didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Okay, so let's go through this passage and see some secrets that Paul has discovered about this idea of having joy. The first secret is this: remember that Jesus is coming back. Remember that Jesus is coming back. Because here's the thing, if you don't know how the story ends, the ups and downs in life can really have this tendency to rob joy and just cause you instead to have some fear and anxiety. But when you know how the story ends and you keep your eyes focused on that reality, when you know that Jesus is coming back in the end and that God wins, then we can have joy no matter what the circumstances you're facing in your life. Because you know it's all going to work out in the end. Because bad things do happen. And your life is never going to be perfect. And if you're waiting on life to be perfect and have all these things up here, you'll be waiting your entire life for these things to happen before you'll be happy. And I've got bad news for you if that's the case, because you're never going to be happy. So Paul was in prison, and he had just a couple of friends around him. So for the most part, he was pretty much alone. And he could be killed at any day. And then back in his churches, there were evil people that were going to some of these churches he had started, and they were telling these churches they shouldn't listen to Paul anymore, and they were tearing Paul down, trying to get control over these churches to build themselves up because they couldn't do the miracles that God did through Paul. And it just seemed like nothing was going right for Paul. But look at what he writes. "Remember, the Lord is coming soon." Paul's in prison, but he remembers that Jesus is coming again. Paul says, "I know how the story ends. Jesus is coming back. He's going to take us all to heaven. We're going to be just full of eternity for all of eternity, full of joy." And Paul says, even if you die before he returns, then you're immediately going to be with Jesus. So he says, stop worrying. Stop letting the world rob you of your joy, because in the end, Jesus wins. And if you believe in him, so will you. Remember, Jesus is coming back, and God is going to make everything right. That's the first secret to joy. Second one is this: release my worries to God in prayer. Release my worries to God in prayer. Now, one of the struggles of this releasing business is that we have this tendency to love to worry. In fact, according to recent health research studies, prescriptions for anti-anxiety drugs have spiked 10% over the last couple of years. Now we have as much as 9.7 million Americans that have prescriptions for anti-anxiety medication. And there are a lot of reasons why people take these medicines. They're not all of them, you know, not putting them down at all. But the number one cause for all this anxiety in our culture is people trying to control things you cannot control. And so when you try to control something you can't control, it just creates this anxiety in your life. And that's what we do. When we realize we can't control something, what do? We start to worry about it. And then when I worry about it, I'm not joyful because I'm stuck in this worry. And when I'm not joyful, it makes me miserable, and that becomes the cycle. And there are things in our lives that we simply can't control. And so we worry about not being able to control them. And as we worry about not being able to control them, it robs us of this joy. It just makes us miserable. And the cycle continues over and over, begins cycling and cycling as we begin to get caught in anxiety. And Paul says that when you can't control things, instead of going to worry and worrying about them, turn to the one who can actually change things, control things. Turn to God in prayer. Because in prayer, you exchange your worry for God's peace. And you exchange your worry for God's joy. Look at our verse 6. It says, don't worry about what? Don't worry about anything. Surely there ought to be something you can worry about. You know, we kind of have our list. This is the sanctified list of things you're allowed to worry about. No, Paul says nothing. You can't. Don't worry about anything. Circle that word, anything. It says there's nothing that you should be worried about. You know, that's a lot easier to say, but it's really hard to do, right? And look how he proposes to do that. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Everything. Even the little things, the big things, the little things. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so you know what Paul is saying here? You can worry or you can pray. You can pray or you can worry, but you can't do both because they're opposites. And that's the challenge, isn't it? And so when we choose to pray, we exchange that worry, and he gives us his peace. And I don't know about you, but that is just an incredibly good deal, because that peace is what makes joy possible. And the truth is, when you have a whole lot less worry, and you'll have a whole lot more joy if you just spend more time praying and less time trying to figure it all out on your own. So if you want more joy, the key isn't to get these things up here in life. It's not to strive and worry and fret about those things. But first of all, to remember that Jesus is coming back. He's going to make everything right. And second, as you need to, as often as you need to, stop and pray. Take those problems to God. You can't control them. That's causing you to worry. So take it to God and to the one who can control them and do something about them and release them to him and ask for his help. And ask him to replace that worry that you're experiencing for his peace, and he'll do it. Here's Paul's third secret, developing this essential quality of joy, and that is refocus my attention on the things of God. Purposely refocus my attention on the things of God. One of the primary things that will rob you of joy is fixating on your problems or on your shortcomings. Fixating on what's wrong, fixating on what's missing in your life. And really, that's why social media has this tendency to rob us of so much joy. The Wall Street Journal recently did a study where Facebook admitted that their platforms overall have a negative emotional impact on all of us. Because what happens is we see whatever everyone else is doing and what everyone else has, and we compare it to what we have and what we're not doing, and we just start to become depressed about it. We become discontent with our lives, with who we are, and we lose joy. Likewise, if your attention every day is spending a lot of time looking at the news or on politics, you're also going to end up likely becoming very depressed and very annoyed and kind of an angry person if you get too focused on that stuff. Because what you focus on the most is going to determine what level of joy you have. Let me repeat that because I want you to kind of think about this. Whatever you focus on the most will ultimately determine your level of joy. So Paul says, if you want to develop this essential quality of joy, refocus your attention on the things of God. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So let's just reflect for a moment. Okay, over the course of an average day, what do you focus the most on? You know, do you focus more on God and good things, or more on your social media feed? Or do you focus more on God, or do you find yourself focusing more on news or politics? Because I can tell you right now, the less you focus on things that have no eternal value, the more you focus on God, the greater your joy you're going to experience in life. Refocus your attention on God. Spend some time reading God's word every day. Listen to some worship music as you're driving around, as you're exercising. Listen to some good godly podcasts. Get those things in your mind. Remove the things that are causing you to lose your focus off God. You know, limit your time that you spend on social media. Be really discerning about the things you watch on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon. Remove anything in your life that might lead you into places like lust or gossip or having just a negative spirit. See, when we refocus our attention on God and on good things and not on everything that's wrong in our life right now or the things that can take you away from God, you begin to develop this fruit of the Spirit of joy. And as you do that, if you want to develop this essential quality of joy, then also recommit to obeying God's word. That's the next secret. Recommit to obeying God's word. So as you think about the Bible, I mean, have you ever put together a furniture, a piece of furniture where it came in pieces and they gave you instruction manual? I'm sure you ladies never did this, but guys, you know, have you ever just tossed the instruction manual and said, this looks like an easy project? I tell you, nothing will steal joy more than putting together a piece of furniture and realize you put it together backwards because you didn't look at the instruction manual. I've done that before, you know, and so the Bible is a lot like that. God's word is our manual for life. It's why it'll tell us in God's word why we're created, what our purpose is, and it tells us the best ways to live our life. Because God knows the best ways that work and what will work the best. It's the way he created us. And so in the Bible, God shows us how to live life, but also how to experience the most joy if we would choose his ways over the things the world is trying to press on us. And so don't miss this. There is a direct connection between joy and obedience to God's word. There is a direct connection between how much joy you have and how obedient you are to God's word. Without obedience, you can't live a joyful life. It's impossible. That's why Paul says something interesting in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. It says, keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Paul says, I want you to obey all the things that I taught you. These are things that God has taught me. I'm teaching you. Follow my example as I'm being obedient to God, and God will be with you, and he'll give you the peace, and he'll give you joy. So let me just say this. If there is an area of your life right now where you're not listening to God, the Holy Spirit's been impressing you, he's been pushing you, and you've been resisting, where you're refusing to obey God, whether it's in your career or in a relationship or how you're supposed to use your money, you know, any area where you're not listening to God, that will rob you of joy in your life. That thing is robbing you right now of the joy that you have. Now, if there's also something that God has been wanting you to do, and you're not doing it, you've just been dragging your feet, making sure, I'm not sure, God, I know you've told me 20 times to do this, but could you tell me 21, because I don't know about that idea, all right? You know, we're resisting him. If there's something God has just been pushing, and he's trying to get you to do, and you have just been resisting it, know that that is robbing joy in your life. You know, maybe he's been wanting you to serve in a certain way. Maybe he's wanting you to give towards a certain thing. Maybe he wants you to reorganize your life so you just have more time to spend with him. Maybe there's a relationship in your life where you just need to ask for some forgiveness in it. And you're not doing it. That disobedience, it's robbing you of your joy. It's robbing you of peace. Joy comes through Jesus, and obeying God's word connects you to Jesus and to joy. Disobedience cuts you off in that process. So if there's areas of disobedience in your life right now, and I imagine if there are, you know what it is. The Holy Spirit is already talking to you about it. Do something about it. Don't put it off any longer. And that leads to the next secret to developing the essential quality of joy, and that is receive encouragement from my church family. Receive encouragement from my church family. We were not created to do life alone. It's one of the reasons that God has given us the church, so it can be our spiritual family. And if you're a Christian and you're not connected to a church family, or you have neglected your church family, the Bible describes you as a spiritual orphan. You're missing something that's just really important in your life. In other words, you need a church family around you to pray for you, to encourage you, to challenge you, to laugh with you and cry with you and just be there for you. And Paul knew this. And even though he was in prison, he found great comfort and joy in the relationships he had with friends in the churches that he had started. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 10, he says, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. And I know that you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me." Paul needed his church family to help bring him joy when he was feeling discouragement, when he was feeling loneliness. And by the way, you do too. And I pray that you let the Living Water Church at Seymour Lake be that for you. Be that church family for you. Paul says, if you want to develop joy, you need to be connected to a church family. Then back in your notes, here's the next secret to developing this secret, the essential quality of joy, and that is, this one's a hard one. Remain content with what I have. Because that's the opposite of the whole American culture. American culture is don't be content. You deserve this next thing. Paul says, remain content with what you have. Nothing will rob you of joy faster than wanting something that you don't have. Nothing will rob you of joy faster than thinking you have to have something in order for you to be happy. If only I had. What is that for you? How would you fill in that blank? If only I had this thing. And I know this is harsh, but if you think you have to have that thing in your life in order for you to have joy, you will never have joy. Because when you get it, after a few days you realize, nope, it wasn't that, and you start looking for the next thing that's going to bring you joy. And Paul knew this. He spent most of his adult life with next to nothing. When he became a Christian, he lost his friends, he lost his career, he lost his family, he lost his reputation. But Paul never lost his joy because he knew these secrets to joy. Philippians 4, beginning of verse 11, look what Paul says. "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content." Circle that word, content. That's a hard word for us. "I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little." At some point, you have to learn how to be content with the content of your life. Let me repeat that. At some point, you have to learn how to be content with the content of your life. If you can't be content with the content of your life right now, joy isn't just going to somehow mysteriously appear on life later on when that something comes into your life. We need to learn to be content with what God has already given you. Thank God for your blessings. Allow yourself to enjoy life now. It's not that there's anything wrong with wanting something. It's when that thing becomes, you just come wrapped around it and you start assigning value to it. And so allow yourselves to have joy now, no matter your circumstances. If you want to develop this essential fruit of the Spirit of joy, learn to be content with what you have. And then here's the final secret to having joy we find in Philippians chapter 4, and that is to rely on Jesus' strength for all things. Easy to say, hard for us to apply. Rely on Jesus' strength for all things, the final secret. Developing this joy that Paul shares about in Philippians 4 is simple. Stop relying on your own strength and stop learning to rely on Jesus' strength. Philippians 4, verse 13, Paul says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And this is such an important truth. Without Jesus' strength, there's not much that you and I can do. But with Jesus' strength, there is nothing that you can't do. We can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. So I want us to end today by reading our key verse together. We heard it already a couple of times from Steve and then from me. And this would be a great verse for us to memorize, just to have, just whenever we might need it. But let's read this verse out loud together. It starts with the words "always." So we could put that verse up there. There it is. Let's read this together. Ready? "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, may we all just be able to take a moment and reflect. What's going on down deep inside? You know, on Sundays, we just kind of get into a pattern of putting on a happy face, putting on a mask. I don't have any struggles. I'm doing great. Don't ask me any questions. We set that aside and just get really real with God and talk to Him about how your joy is doing. Because our joy is our strength, and when we've lost that joy, life becomes really difficult. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings that you've brought into our life. And especially the blessings of the joy of the Lord. For we know it's the foundation of our strength to make it through life and to live our life the way you've called us to live it. And right now, it might be that if you're just really honest, there's not a lot of joy. As we're praying, would you just ask God to develop that fruit of joy, that trait in your life right now? Just talk to God about it. Pour out your heart. He already knows. Let him in. Talk about this subject with Him. If there's a worry that's keeping you from joy, would you give that to God right now? Name it. Say what it is in your heart. Lift it up to Him. Give Him your worry. If you lack contentment because there's something that you desperately want and you think you got to have it before you're going to be happy, oh, would you give that desire to God right now in prayer? If the Holy Spirit's kind of put His finger on something you've been holding on, would you give it to Him? If there's a sin or disobedience that's robbing you of joy right now, would you commit to following Jesus in that area? Ask Him for forgiveness. Just right now as you're praying, commit to do that thing that He's been asking you to do, or to not do that thing He's been asking you not to do. God, would you help us to learn from Paul how to always be full of joy in you? No matter what's going on in our life, no matter what we're going through, may we walk in these things we have prayed about just now throughout this entire week. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. The praise band's going to come up, and as they're coming, I want to give an opportunity to be anointed. And Debbie has asked that she be anointed, and I thought, you know, there might be someone else who would like to be anointed. It might have nothing to do with joy. It might be a physical thing that you're dealing with. It could be a decision you've got to make. It could be anything. But if you would like to be anointed, after we sing this, I'm just going to anoint, and Debbie's going to stay right where she is. And if you want to come up on this side or sit in this front row, I will anoint you, and then we'll have communion after that. But there's this song, "There Was Jesus." And you know, joy comes when we realize that Jesus is right there. And we learn to lean on him instead of trying to get it through on our own. I can handle this one, God, and the joy disappears. So as we sing this powerful song, if you know it, sing along with us. But may you just talk to God through the words. Jesus, help me through it if there's something you're struggling with in this area. There was Jesus.